All right, I'll go ahead and call our city council, pre-council for Monday, March 17th to order. We've got two things on the agenda. First thing is the complete streets presentation, so I'm gonna kick it over to Public Works Director Shane Creech.
Thank you. As you all know, we've been lucky enough to receive several grants from the Safe Streets for All Grant Award. Those were mainly planning grants, one of which was to take a look at our complete streets policy that we've had in place for quite some time. So CMT's here tonight to kind of walk you through what they've done so far and what they're gonna do going forward and kind of get some feedback from you all as they get into this process. So I'll turn it over to Jackie.
All right. Thanks, Shane. My name's Jackie Knight. I'm a project manager at Crawford Murphy & Tilley CMT, and we are leading the complete streets policy update for the City of Columbia. So excited to share what we have been working on tonight and a little bit about the entire process. So tonight we'll give a complete streets overview, and then we'll talk about Columbia's need for complete streets and really thinking about what complete streets means to the City of Columbia. We'll then move into the project scope and goals, and so what are we trying to get out of this project? What is the scope of work so that you can understand the process and everything that's included in the timeline? Which then will lead into the timeline and next steps. We can have Q&A at the end, but also during this presentation, we do have a few activities built in that we do want to work through with the City Council on, just to understand your values around infrastructure decision-making and desired outcomes for this project. So that's just a preview of what we will be talking about tonight. So like I said, my name's Jackie Knight. I'm a planner, project manager at CMT. Also here with me tonight, I have Allie Fields. She's our government affairs manager, leads a lot of our policy work. We actually spent the afternoon interviewing department heads and city staff about complete streets and really understand existing pain points or potentially opportunities of the current policy and what people want to see as an outcome in the future policy. So we spent the afternoon doing that, and we're actually going to be back tomorrow morning upstairs on the third floor doing another morning of interviews and really trying to understand local knowledge and understanding around the complete streets existing policy. So what is a complete street? Complete streets are designed and operated to enable safe, accessible, and comfortable travel for users of all ages and abilities, regardless of their mode of transportation. So this is ensuring that people can travel safely around the city, people can connect to where they need to go based on any mode of transportation, and really provide accessibility and safe connections for everybody. Wanted to kind of back out a little bit in terms of like what complete streets means for quality of life when I'm, you know, presenting to the City Council and what city staff might think. We have given a similar presentation for reference to the Disabilities Commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Bike Ped Commission, and then the Transit Commission. And in each of those presentations, I really tried to focus on what is the goal of complete streets specific to those areas of expertise or those individual bodies that we were talking to. But in this perspective, I thought it was really important to kind of back it up and think holistically about quality of life and how a complete streets approach can enhance quality of life for people living in Columbia. First of all, a complete streets approach ensures that we have safe spaces for users of all ages and abilities, so that children can walk or bike to school safely, elderly individuals can get to the doctor's appointment, but that people can really travel where they need to go regardless of how they choose or may be able to travel. This also means that we have to take a network approach. And so what that looks like is that understanding there's going to be different facility types for different street types. And we can certainly not always accommodate every single thing on every single street, especially within constrained rights of way. This is something that we heard a lot about today when we were doing our interviews, but recognizing that in some more historic areas of Columbia where street right of way is minimal, how are we really prioritizing what modes are moving through or moving along that space? This also thinks about longer trips and shorter trips. So how are we facilitating better bike connections to public transit and where transit users are maybe riding their bikes to get to the bus, to get to their final destination? But then also shorter trips. A large majority of the trips that we make in our communities are under 1 mile, and how can people that can walk or bike make those trips by walking or biking if the safe and accessible accommodations are there. And then we also want to promote connected communities for people without access to own or operate a car. And what this really does is ensures that streets are really great places for building up social capital and interacting with your neighbors. And when we provide safe spaces for people to walk and bike, we are truly allowing for everybody in our community to meaningfully participate in their community and give back to their neighborhood where they live. And then finally, thinking about accessibility and connections and ensuring that elderly populations are able to age in place, people living with disabilities can get to where they need to go, and how are we providing that connectivity around the city. So this is just one example of maybe a complete streets approach. This is a street that was a typical example from the National Association of City Transportation Officials, NACTO. They provide a series of design guides related to bicycle design guidance, transit design guidance, streets for people. They even have a design guide about streets for children. But in this specific example, you can see there's a high visibility crosswalk with an accessible curb ramp. So what is that visual cue for motorists that people are going to be crossing the street? The ramp, make sure that it's an accessible accommodation. You can see the pedestrian signals and push buttons, again, for pedestrians crossing the street. This is a green left turn cue box so that bikes can cue in front of motor vehicle traffic and get an advanced opportunity to turn left to minimize collisions. And then obviously you can see the street accommodations for through travel lanes. So really on this side of the street, this looks a little bit larger, but how can you really accommodate for all of those modes of transportation? Still recognizing this is a network approach, this would be certainly applicable in some areas where we're trying to prioritize that bike facility movement, for example, but perhaps not on every street.
Can you explain what networking, when you say net, what do you mean?
Yeah. So right now in the street design standards attached to the complete streets policy, they're based on roadway functional classification, and that's that every road within a transportation network has some level of access to local land use connections and then also some level of through movement. So interstates have minimal access points, high levels of through movement for motor vehicle traffic, and it's kind of like a funneling system. So then it works down to arterial roads. Those are going to be some of the bigger crosstown connectors, wider streets, collector roads, and then local residential roads.
And that's the network?
Yeah, that's a transportation network. And okay. So the approach that I'm talking about for complete streets is just that we can't necessarily accommodate all modes of transportation on every street, but we can think about what is that bike network look like and where are we prioritizing those bike facilities by road type to allow for safe and comfortable travel. Does that answer that question?
Sort of.
Okay.
You touched on the topic of prioritizing modes of transportation on road classifications for streets that are older and how to do that. Do you have a slide later on that, or is this something that I should bring up now?
We do not have a slide necessarily on the prioritization. I guess I should also mention that we are still in the very early stages of this,
okay.
So we haven't started thinking about what those typical facility types are by street type yet. That's the purpose of doing these departmental interviews, doing some of the activities that we're going to do tonight. We're also doing a pretty robust public engagement process, so it might be a little bit early in the process to talk about that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and just for clarification, I guess, before I move on, really to date, we've only engaged with city staff, the various commissions that I mentioned, and then city council tonight, and then after city council tonight, we'll do a full public engagement process, and I'll share some details about what we intend to do for that. So just some key features about a complete street. So this is supporting multimodal. You can see there's a safe facility for locking up your bike. There's the high visibility crosswalk for walking. Looks like there's a shelter here for the public transit. And then, of course, the driving accommodations on the street. But this is an example of where you can really start to see all of those modes of transportation mix in one location. Another component of complete streets is safe and accessible. You can see there's some curb bump outs here that minimize the crossing distance for pedestrians, so there's less conflict where they're crossing the street in front of motor vehicle traffic. There's also street parking that serves as a nice buffer from the travel lane to the sidewalk for people. And you can see some of the protected bus stops with the separated lane for the pullout and the shelter right there. And then all of these images, again, are from the National Association of City Transportation Officials, NACTO, and through some of their design guidance on complete streets. And then just another component is that Complete Streets features an integrated design, so it's really balancing the needs of the streets and who is moving on the street and the modes of transportation moving on the street with the adjacent land use context and who is getting to those facilities. So in this specific example, you can see there looks to appear some different mix of uses. Also facilitates, it looks like, some delivery traffic right there, which is another consideration that we have to think about in terms of delivery traffic and accessing local businesses and potential, and what are those industrial uses in town. Okay, so now we are going to pause here, and we're going to go through a values discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the next slide and share some information about the activity. And then it'll be open forum after you get some time to review the values and think about your priorities. So this is a very similar activity that we did with city staff. We actually did a values alignment workshop in November. We had city staff from multiple departments come for a two-hour workshop where we had small group discussions. We did a presentation on Complete Streets. We talked about prioritizing values for infrastructure decision making. We also talked about goals of the Complete Streets policy update, but really setting the stage on what are our values as a city is gonna be really helpful in to the discussion about prioritizing or what are we thinking about with some of those updated design standards. So on this screen, there's 12 or 15 values. And what we would like for you to do, and I'll go through the values quickly, but then I would like all of you to spend approximately 5 minutes reviewing these values and prioritizing what your top three values might be. And then we'll go through, we'll go around the table, we'll do some sharing and some discussion.
Top three or top five? I missed what you said.
Top three. Thank you. Yes. Okay, so accessibility in terms of connections means providing strong transportation connections between quality of life amenities and basic necessities. And then there's also accessibility for people living with disabilities. And that's the definition of that is that people with disabilities and the elderly should feel safe and comfortable traveling. Comfort is another value, and that's regardless of how people travel, people should feel welcome and comfortable in public space when they're traveling. Choice, that value means that people should be able to decide how they travel. Resilience is building a flexible, long-lasting transportation network that adapts to growth and changing needs. Engagement is incorporating regular feedback from Columbia residents in the transportation decision-making process and building trust along the way. Environmental sustainability is promoting transportation options that reduce greenhouse gas emissions as a viable way of traveling. Equity is providing people with the resources they need to succeed. Healthy neighborhoods is the idea that neighborhoods should connect with multimodal networks and emphasize transportation choices. Innovation is embracing new technologies and adapting to changing trends in the industry, bringing that into our decision-making process. Place is the idea that streets are public spaces and they should do more than just serve to move vehicles. Maintenance is a transportation system that's equipped to respond to major events with a regular maintenance and operations plan in place, so upkeeping that infrastructure once it's implemented. Safety is the idea that people should be able to travel without risking serious injury or death. Trust is building community confidence in local governments. And then economy is promoting economic growth through transportation. So when we did this activity with city staff, people had the chance to, again, internally think about what their top three values were, and then as a table, they actually had to come to a consensus around the top three. So it was some really interesting discussion depending on the department that city staff represented. But I'll just maybe give you guys a couple of minutes to think about these. And one thing that we also did at the workshop that I'll also say, you know, if you want to couple a few together or think about something that might be interrelated when you're sharing, that's certainly feedback that we would love to hear also.
Do we get pipe cleaners?
I don't know. Are we supposed to be at one table?
I like this style. Are we all having to come to an agreement?
No. If you're just going to think about it and then share, and then we're going to take notes. And then when you share, you can, you know, elaborate.
Think of your top three. I think we're supposed to pick our top three ourselves.
And then we'll go around the table and everybody will share.
Yeah. I've got my top three, but probably not everybody else's top three.
Probably not, because you're just...
I know, I'm just so out there, you know? Contradictory.
I do find it difficult to pick three.
How do you feel about it?
Good. Yes. Again, I like your stuff.
That's the problem. You need them all. It's
my favorite phrase. Hot and challenging. Hot and moving.
They are. Oh,
how do you do this?
Mine didn't move, but they were hot. But it was January, so it was fine.
Right.
It was either that or the cat sitting on my head. So
in reality, are you making sure that you cover all of them?
If it slides around too, that's not good.
I mean,
it moves,
so. You can start to see how some of them tie together, but I think the biggest takeaway from here is so that when the policy is updated and you know the designers for the companies are updated, then we have like this.
Yeah, right. Adding to your fatigue,
yeah.
And stress.
To think
yeah,
about
I, just,
in terms
I got
of the
it.
Decision making process.
Just cards are handy.
Right, they're intertwined. A lot of them fundamentally.
Yeah.
It's just about kind of what.
This is a consultant.
I don't think any of them are in true competition.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're you're losing
they're
us, so we can probably just go ahead and go. I think the council has decided on their three.
Okay.
Or in their heads.
Or we're willing to.
Have it.
Or we're willing at least just to take a stab at it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, let's start here, and I'll just write them down, sure. And tell you
mine. So my top three were accessibility, equity, and healthy neighborhoods.
Which? What was your first one?
Accessibility.
Which
one?
One.
Connections or people with disabilities. See, you got to make a choice. You
and
only have
not
one choice.
With each other, but we're just trying to think about the priorities.
Yeah.
Wow, I loved them together. I think people with disabilities.
Kimberly changing.
Engagement. Equity. Safety.
Choice, resilience, economy.
Oh, it's me. Healthy neighborhoods, resilience, and accessibility for people with disabilities.
Safety, economy. Neighborhoods.
Resilience, environmental sustainability, and safety.
Go grab something to eat. Accessibility connections, equity, and healthy and healthy neighborhoods.
City staff, safety and healthy neighborhoods were also up there in the top values. And again, just for clarification, it's not like we're suggesting that these are really competing with each other. They're all components of a healthy transportation network, and really thinking about how you're building that trust when you're going through the project decision-making process. But it's just a good activity to really start to think about the lens at which we're viewing how we're making some of the decisions for projects moving forward. Okay, so a little bit of the background on Complete Streets in Columbia. The existing policy was adopted in 2004, aiming to improve accessibility, safety, and multimodal connectivity. The policy is now being updated to align with modern best practices and address current mobility challenges. A lot has changed since 2004, even in terms of facility guidance. There's been two new bikeway design guides that have come out this past year from the American State Highway Transportation Officials and also National Association of City Transportation Officials. So thinking about how are we incorporating that guidance into some of the standards moving forward. So the current areas of focus, and again, we're still very early in this process, and through activities like what we just did and also our public engagement, you know, some of these areas might get a little bit more refined. But certainly equity, and that means that there's got to be a focus on addressing gaps in infrastructure to ensure safe access for all people, including underserved communities and people living with disabilities. And so thinking about some of those people that have the highest barriers to accessing safe and accessible transportation. Also innovation, incorporating new design standards to enhance safety and efficiency. And then finally, sustainability, supporting active transportation modes to reduce congestion and positive environmental impact. Just want to make sure that we recognize Local Motion and the work that they did on the Livable Streets campaign that was originally aimed to update the Complete Streets policy. The city took a step back, decided to go through this, was awarded the Safe Streets and Roads for All grant, and so now we really have the opportunity to do some due diligence and review the existing policy and then also really bring in that public engagement. I'm going to share a lot about the engagement process that we have in place for this specific project. So the key themes are that streets are designed for all modes of transportation. They lead to safer and better health outcomes and a more efficient use of city resources. And then the campaign is really going to be backed by community engagement and seeks to advise city officials, but certainly not dictate those changes. So how are we layering the technical professional input, certainly through things like the interviews that we did today that we'll do tomorrow. We'll also share some information in a few slides about how we're doing that scoring based on national best practices, and then layering that in with the context sensitivity of the local community, of understanding their experiences traveling around their neighborhoods. Okay, so now I'll get into the details of the scope of work. We'll take a brief pause for some brainstorming when we touch on community relations. But we've got our project administration, we've got our community relations, and that also includes stakeholder engagement. We're doing an existing policy review and scoring. We're also doing national best practice research to understand what is out there, what are new trends, what has changed, certainly since 2004. And then we'll move into drafting the policy update and ordinance revisions, and then that will be finalized in the new Complete Streets policy once we are done with the project. So this is our project administration. We're just, we've already had our kickoff meeting. We're coordinating regularly on milestones and survey and public engagement and setting up the interviews and all the meetings. We're also doing the grant compliance, as the grant was funded by Safe Streets and Roads for All, and then just monthly invoicing and regular reporting to city staff. And then we also have our community relations task item. And so after this, we definitely want to do some brainstorming, but we've got a really robust plan in place to try to make sure that we're capturing voices from people living all across Columbia, people that are using all modes of transportation. What that looks like is we're going to be doing an online survey where our team will actually also be administering that survey through what we call intercept surveys, where we're going out in the community and meeting people in public and either, you know, giving them the code to be able to take the survey or actually administering the survey on an iPad if they have 5 minutes to talk to us. So that survey will be available shortly. We're just finalizing some of the questions right now, and then we'll be able to get the survey link on the Be Heard website once that goes live. We'll also be doing two rounds of open houses. So our first round will be programmed for this June. That's in more of the input gathering phase and sharing information about what we're doing. And then once we get to the draft phase, we'll do another round of open houses so that people can see what that draft policy is looking like. And then in addition to that, doing some pop-up events. And so basically called pop-up events so we can just pop up in the community, we can go to festivals, we can go to gathering places where people are already existing and really come to people and share information as opposed to putting the onus on them to be able to attend an open house after hours or in a location that could potentially be difficult to get to for a variety of reasons. In April, we will also be doing walk and bike audits. So understanding how the current policy has come into play, thinking about design challenges on recent projects or even, you know, experiencing some of those streets with constrained right-of-way in the more historic neighborhoods. But we will be doing that at the end of April. So our team will coordinate with Allison and the Public Works Department and Shane and their team on who's attending those and where we're going to see some of those specific examples in the field. Also attending community meetings, and so we will be able to go to any existing neighborhood meetings. We have a set number of those, but we want to, again, brainstorm some tonight on specifically where we might be able to just go be an item on the agenda and share information and ways for people to give feedback. We are also going to be able to do a field demonstration towards the end of the project. So what a field demonstration is that we can basically use very lean materials and we can essentially kind of pop up some type of facility that maybe isn't in Columbia right now or something new that we might be recommending. It's a really great educational tool for people to understand what that facility type looks like, how that might even be used, specifically if it's something new. But then they also can serve as like really great celebration tools. So if it's towards the end of the project, people are getting excited about the update, it's just a really great opportunity to get excited about the future and what's to come. That will be all summarized in a full engagement summary that will be delivered to the city. And again, can serve as some of those really good data points to have with the updated policy. And this is all founded on the idea of a really inclusive outreach process. So we do want to take a quick break and ask you all, before I keep going on the scope, if you have any specific groups or community partners that you should reach out to. Of course, we're coordinating very closely with city staff, and we just met today with Shauna in the city manager's office to think about community connectors and how her work might be able to overlap with this. But as elected officials, we just wanted to see if there was any thoughts that you all had or certainly wanted to open the opportunity for you to brainstorm with us about community partners or neighborhood associations meetings that we can go to.
Jackie, can I first ask, do you already have a list? So, you know, of groups that staff has given you, like I'm assuming, but I'm just wondering if you do.
We have like a working list of ideas, but we haven't formalized any specific presentations or pop-ups just yet.
Okay.
So right now it's just the list that we're compiling, which is why we wanted to make sure that we open it up tonight to get any feedback from you all on groups that we should make sure we include on that.
Okay.
Staff can obviously give you a list of neighborhood associations.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are a great way to reach people. If you have trouble getting in touch with people, because sometimes the email addresses aren't the most up to date, I imagine most council representatives know who to talk to and can help you get in contact and get on the agenda for a neighborhood meeting.
Done.
I was going to say our Disabilities Commission.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we did present to the Disabilities Commission in December, and we're certainly going to continue to do, I think we have two more presentations, but even thinking about ways to incorporate some of those representatives in any of our audits, if they're able to attend, I think is going to be a really critical idea too. Yeah.
The Worley Street Roundtable is a group that works on education advocacy. They might have Worley Street Roundtable.
Okay.
They might have some interesting things to say regarding like children who walk to school.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Local Motion is on the list, right?
So,
yeah, right. What's the name of Local Motion? Like the neighborhood group leaders?
Locals in Motion.
So, yeah, specifically Locals in Motion, which has a really diverse representation.
They name themselves.
Yeah. 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 And I'd also, is it the only community meeting, is most of the engagement happening in the summer?
It's going to start in, April through the summer, but then okay. We'll be back for another round.
Because I don't want to lose university students who, maybe don't want to have their campus be long-term car storage.
I do think that connections to university is something that's important, something that we could build up on. It's a common employer, so even if it's in the summer, you'll still have a lot of people who can speak about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a group per se for this, but I wonder about people who do regularly commute. By bike or walking, if you can identify some of those people. I just had a conversation with someone recently who talked about biking in some areas they're really not being as friendly as they might like for it them to be to biking. So there are people who commute by bike to work, but I think if you can identify some of those folks and speak to them, that might be helpful.
I don't know if CPS still does it, but once Columbia Public Schools, but also their walking school bus.
They don't do it anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
No, but I mean, some of the schools do. Like Fairview has a pretty active.
But still,
one.
There are a lot of students that are going to be walking to school.
With the neighborhood associations, I would suggest that you make sure they're dispersed amongst wards.
Sure, they'll come to us when you leave. I wonder, we recently went through our community health improvement plan update, and wherever we're back, did some of the focus groups that we did for that, I wonder if any of those might be, just to identify, we do a lot of surveys. And we do a lot of plans, and so I almost wonder if it's possible to contact people we've recently talked to and been like, hey, you were helpful in steering this whatever. We want to know if you want to weigh in. Just it's this idea of reflecting on what they said, too. Because I bet in some of those things, these topics have come up as far as connections and accessibility. And so it'd be showing a way to reflect and respect what they said in those groups. So you don't even have to, they don't have to take the survey again. Maybe there's information out there in some of our recent ones.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Something else you might want to consider would be talking to our police department. Certainly in my neighborhood, we have difficulties with people parking along the street, along the sidewalk. This morning there was a car that was parked lengthwise along the sidewalk, so if you actually were on the sidewalk, you better be laying down to go under the car because it was straddling the sidewalk. And I was late from just having a conversation with somebody else where trucks are blocking the sidewalk, so you might have the infrastructure available, but if you don't have the enforcement, and the police might be able to give you some input and insight into either how to enforce it or that there's no point in enforcing it. So that might be another
That's a great point, and I should mention that we are meeting with the police and fire tomorrow in our departmental interviews, and certainly continue to have the conversation throughout the entire process. That's a great point.
Some of the thoughts I had were the Public Transit Advisory Commission. There might be they have a lot of last mile transportation needs. Maybe churches, maybe places where we have, where people are known to walk. Mm-hmm. So You know, we have a number of parks that people walk to. I'm thinking Douglas Park, I'm thinking Worley Park, I'm thinking Agin Street. Especially, you know, we have, there's a baseball group there. You know, when there's picnics or sporting events, there will be people who walked there for that purpose. There's something else that I can't.
Yeah, done.
Two more, the district and the loop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The loop, especially.
I think so. Well, I assume, but I don't want to assume on any of these things. But there's a transportation or a infrastructure like committee with the Chamber of Commerce, right? And I think it's still active. I don't think it's only activated for CIP, but that would be a good a lot of our Chamber of Commerce, their committee, yeah, for businesses, employers.
Yeah, and I think we have a presentation scheduled with them for later this spring or early summer.
Yeah. Noble Court has a neighborhood group, neighborhood watch group, that is very, very active and has quite a bit of membership. They'll have larger meetings about quarterly. They're not on the neighborhood association list, but the way that they gather and structure is very similar.
What was the name of that?
Noble Court Neighborhood Watch.
Well, thank you. Well, get all of this added to our thoughts, and then, you know, we can't obviously go meet with everybody or present to everybody, but we can reach out or ask for city staff that have those built relationships, that have that trust with some of these groups, to help reach out on our behalf to get the word out about the survey, about the community events that we'll be at, you know, where we'll be doing the pop-ups or what presentations we might be giving, and when the open houses are, too. So our stakeholder engagement is city staff. Like I mentioned, we kicked off city staff engagement with a goals workshop, and that was, I think, really informative. It was really good to see people from all different departments come together. We had people RSVP in advance so that we made sure that various departments were sitting with people from other departments, and so you're really kind of bringing those different opinions to the table. We also have the commission meetings, and so we've already done the Disabilities Commission, the Bike Ped, the Transit, and the Planning and Zoning, and then we'll continue to meet regularly with those. I think we have two more meetings with each of those as we get through the first round of engagement, and then when we get to the draft and final policy. The project was really well received at those. People really wanted to know how they could be involved, and so thinking about how we might be able to send some of those invitations to some of the walk and bike audits, or even a bus tour that we're going to be doing. Elected officials, we're here tonight, and we will be back a few times along the way. Like I said, we're in the early stages, and we're just going to continue to make sure that we're keeping the communication open and sharing with you what we're hearing from the public and how we're layering that into our process, and then how that also overlays with the technical research and the best practice scoring, things like that. So that is what we're here today, this afternoon and tomorrow morning, is we're really focusing on the existing policy review and scoring. And what that looks like is evaluating the current policy and then conducting these departmental interviews. And so what we're doing is we're really having these more as listening sessions where we share about the project, we share about the goal around complete streets, the need to update since 2004, and then just really hear about, you know, desired outcomes or based on what your job is and how you deliver projects for the city, you know, what would be better in the revised complete streets policy with you. And then we'll review the existing scoring with the city and then finalize that into a memo that we'll submit as kind of the basis for moving into the next phase in terms of best practice research and drafting the revised policy. So we'll move into best practice research, and then we will review best practices. On the screen here are just some icons, you know, like thinking about agencies like the National Association of City Transportation Officials, and they have policy specialists and really interact with cities across the United States and how their complete streets policy is working. The United States Department of Transportation, and then thinking about how all of this is layered into the safety lens and the safe systems approach, since Columbia is a Vision Zero city, and how is safety really layered into what the final product is. We'll host a workshop on what those best practices are so that we can share information about how we analyze the existing policy, what are those best practices, and then what is the process for kind of aligning the best practices with the local context and what we can improve on with the current complete streets policy. From then, we will move into drafting the complete streets policy, which we'll review with city staff and our core team, meet with these commissions, and then refine for presentation, again, coming back to elected officials and sharing what that draft is and getting input. And then the final step in the process is just finalizing the policy and ordinance revisions and then presenting to City Council. And then another component that we have included in this final task item is developing a 2-page fact sheet, the kind of like a front and back about the new policy and what's changed. This can be a really complex topic for people to understand. There's a lot that's encompassed. And policy language isn't always also super easy for the public to understand. And so how are we basically turning this into something that city residents can take back and really get excited and understand, you know, while this is not necessarily a project, you know, we're not necessarily putting shovels in the ground when we finished our work, how can they get excited about incorporating this into the decision-making process moving forward? And that's what the goal of that 2-page fact sheet would be. So with that, we've got some time for discussion of desired outcomes that you all might have, and then any other remaining questions. And that's what we had tonight to share. We do have some information on a timeline that we can go through after we go through desired outcomes if anybody wants to share any thoughts that they have on that.
Well, I was struck by what you talked about in the beginning about the network. And I tried to imagine that in our city, what that would look like, where we have a network of accessible and multimodal transport routes that at least go east, west, north, south in the city, and then within sectors of the city, not necessarily by wards, but, you know, north, south, east, west, will people be able to get around within those sectors? And I really had a question, if I can ask that. Can you identify a city, especially one that would be similar to ours, that is doing this well?
That's doing, like, the complete streets mm-hmm. implementation well? I can't think of one off the top of my head, but that's where we'll look to examples like Smart Growth America, for example. They have this national scorecard that basically is a matrix of the policy, how the policy's working in practice in terms of implementation, and then also measurable outcomes. And so how can you really establish if that is working in your community? So I can definitely check on their resources, but that's probably the one that I would go to, because on an annual basis, they do score policies across the United States of all communities of all different sizes. So we can really look to that guidance to help us understand where things are working well.
So I guess I'm a little sensitized to this idea of commuting, and I think a part of that as I'm thinking through this is because I visited a couple of cities recently where there was especially a lot of infrastructure provision for bikes, and they were used. You know, there were a lot of people along those ways. So to me, a desired outcome would be more people commuting to work by something other than use of a single car. So using bikes, being able to walk easily, or to put together transit to commute to work in particular.
So So when you talked about, when I heard you talk about the network approach, you mentioned something that made it sound like it also, our ability to apply it in a flexible way, mm-hmm. because especially, you know, we're going through this right now, we have older roads, established roads, where we can't do a complete street because of the actual built environment limitations. And so to know what sort of flexibility do we have, or almost like a suggestion matrix, like how do you prioritize and pick what sort of, you mentioned methods of transportation styles can go in those areas, and which ones should be, like how do we think of that as we're redoing some of our roads?
Mine is safety. Nobody's going to use different modes of transportation if they don't feel safe. And then the next level of safety is also, of course, or not level necessarily, but for the people participate, safe to ride, safe to, I meant like, you know, driving on the road. Sometimes I've been really close to almost hitting a bicyclist, and it's a frightening thought, mm-hmm. you know. So making sure that they're set up where protected bike lanes or something where it's safer for both the bicyclist and also safer for the driver.
Yeah. Kind of like the mixing of the different modes of transportation and making sure there's enough space.
Well, I think, and to sort of piggyback onto what the mayor said, I mean, because we've just run into this where we have a street that we want to make it all things for all people. But there isn't enough room to make it all things for all people. So how do you get a network that allows cars to drive safely, pedestrians to walk safely, bicyclists to bike safely? You know, what are the options to do that, realizing that it is an older city and we don't have never-ending amounts of space. We also have stormwater issues, too, so the more we concrete, the more problems we have with that.
One of the things that I thought about was the topic of resilience, which came up earlier. A lot of the problems that we're running into related to that have to deal with planning and resilience. We didn't foresee in 1920 the types of uses that we would have now, and we don't have a street that is terribly resilient to the changes in transportation, the current uses, and we don't have planned spaces that allow us a flexible approach. And so that's something that I look at when we discuss as we're planning other areas that may seem outlying to Columbia now, the areas that we're looking at that are central to Columbia 50 years ago were outlying to Columbia. So, you know, as we plan our structure, as we plan our roads, allowing for transportation changes and to plan to accommodate those.
Crystal ball, perfect.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'll go through this timeline. So we kicked off the project in October. We had the Goals and Values workshop in November. We met with the Disabilities Commission first in December, and then in January went to the Bike and Ped Commission, the Transit Commission, and the Planning Commission. So, again, just really trying to do a lot of upfront presentations to city staff, commissions, and then here tonight before we went public with any of the information. Our existing policy and ordinance review starts. So we're at the council work session today. We're going to be starting to plan community events and neighborhood meetings. We've got our walk and bike audits scheduled for April, and then we'll start doing some of the pop-up events in April as well.
We're also going to be doing a bus tour with city staff when we're in town for the walk and bike audits. Again, just kind of understanding, even thinking about how larger bus vehicles operate on the street. We met with the transit folks today. In the end of the summertime, or in June, we'll do our first round of open houses. And then also throughout the summer, we'll be doing that best practice research, planning a workshop with city staff, and working through some of that existing draft scoring. Moving forward into fall 2025, we'll go back for more stakeholder engagement. We'll be able to do more intercept surveys, walk and bike audits conducted for the second time. And then in early 2026, that's when we're really going to be starting to review what that draft policy looks like. So we'll be working on that in fall 2025. And then in early 2026, being able to share that draft policy with city staff and making our way through the various commission meetings. We'll finalize our engagement summary in spring 2026, and we'll be finalizing the policy and ordinance revisions, which we'll present to City Council and Planning and Zoning. And then once the policy is updated and approved, then we'll move to develop that two-page fact sheet as kind of the final closeout of the project so that that can be shared publicly. So this is an example of the pop-up events, just so you can kind of see, the field demonstrations. You can kind of see where we might just use some temporary materials that's actually a cornstarch paint that washes away with the next rain, and cones to show, you know, what is the trade-off of an on-street parking lane or an on-street two-way cycle track, and really kind of talking through some of that with community members for this specific project. So what we've completed so far, we did our project workshop, our goals and values workshop. We've gone to a lot of commission meetings. We had our departmental interviews. We have more tomorrow. So just really doing some of our due diligence up front as we get into that existing policy review and scoring. And then after tonight, the Be Heard website will launch. We'll get a survey online, and that's when we'll really start sharing more information about the project publicly. And with that, my contact's up there. Allison is the project manager for Public Works. And just, you know, make sure you kind of stay engaged with the process. Look for more information on some of the public events coming in 2025. And certainly be sharing the project process with residents and ways to get more people engaged in the process. The more input, the better. So that's everything that we have.
Awesome. Any questions before they go?
No.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you for the update and for the presentation. And you said the survey will be going live soon, and you'll have it on Be Heard and other ways.
Yeah, just finalizing some questions, so we'll get it on Be Heard as soon as it's ready.
All right.
But almost there.
Thank you.
Yep,
thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, I'm now going to call us into close. So I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri, to immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A-1B of City Hall to discuss the hiring, firing, disciplining, or promoting of particular employees by a public governmental body when personnel information about the employees discussed or recorded pursuant to Section 610.0213 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for the employment pursuant to Section 610.02113 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Can I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Don. Second. All right. Ms. Buffalo, yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Waterman?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
All right. Anyone who does not need to be